Hello and welcome to the Uncommon Man-to-Man podcast. We have a timely topic this month. We are talking about back to school. I am sure
already
everyone has seen the ads in the stores, all your pencil books and paperwork and all that kind of stuff on sale. So we figured now would be a good time to kind of step into that conversation and talk about that from a faith perspective and how that kind of impacts our lives as men.
Right.
And so today is kind of our first step into a three-part process. Today we'll be focusing on the view of the father during the process of the child going off to college or school or whatever.
Sure.
So as a father of two boys, how was that process for you as you kind of saw us stepping into college and the years before, years after, and that kind of thing?
I'll quote Phil Robertson and say it was just this side of hell. Obviously, we were very close. You know, we homeschooled and spent a lot of time together. So as we moved into the latter part of those years of you guys transitioning to college, you know, if you're a good parent, you're probably concerned at every stage of your child's life. College is a step that now you really realize how much other people are going to have influence over your children or child. And so that process was difficult for mom and I, even though we knew you guys were really rock solid in your faith, trying to well round you guys off to be able to communicate, stand your ground, make friends, all the things that go into a well-rounded person. In spite of that, it was all I could do to not lurk in the bushes your first day on campus, waiting to defend, support, encourage, whatever that was. Yeah. So,
yeah, I think it's interesting to have this, you know, someone who's been in your life for 18, 20-ish years and being there every day in and day out. And we were very lucky that I went in-state and was able to come home every day.
Right.
I had a friend who did not. He stayed at the dorms on campus. His parents were 2 hours away. So if anything were to happen, they're nowhere near. I mean, my wife, her parents were almost 2 hours away.
Right.
So, you know, we had a very different experience. But I'm sure having, you know, very used to the fact that, hey, your child comes home at the end of the day.
Oh, sure.
You know, and then all right, for the next 4 or 5 years, that ain't going to happen. I'm sure that is a very tough pill to swallow.
Yeah, well, right there, I'm sure everybody listening to this just said, wait a second, your kids came home every day and you're feeling this way? Yes. So I can't even imagine how it is to wave as your child goes back to, you know, 3 states away, 2 hours away, whatever it is, to college for, I don't know, 6 months until like maybe spring break or, you know, fall break or whatever it is. That distance from your children is still distance, right? I mean, whether it be half hour or more, if you're unable to see them, you still miss them and worry about them. But yeah, people who are states away are very, very challenge because they can't, like, well, I'll meet you halfway.
Yeah.
We'll have lunch kind of thing. So, yeah, there was that.
Yeah, I think it's, we make fun of those videos that are all corny about the parents moving the kid off of college and the dad's, like, holding on and doesn't want to leave and those tearful goodbyes. But that's I mean, there's a reason it's in all those movies, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's an actual thing.
Sure, I mean, sure.
And it can be difficult letting go and, like you said, letting all these influences happen because that first year of college, man, it hits you hard. Because, I mean, even for us being homeschooled, I mean, you guys set us up on a pretty stable foundation. But even when I walked in there, man, it was like, I know nothing. I don't know who I'm going to get as a professor. You know, I didn't have roommates, but I had friends who had roommates, and they were not nice people. And so I'm sure that defense mechanism or that, you know, that want to protect and to encourage, I mean, I'm sure it works in overdrive at those points right there.
Yeah, I think that we realize that, you know, the friends you have, you know, maybe before you left, were friends that you gravitated toward because of your interests, right, at church or even at a school you attend. but this is, you're going to a college because of a degree. So you're, this is like jury duty. You're put into a room of strangers that are only bound together by maybe one interest.
Or just proximity.
Or proximity, right. It's like, yeah, I'm going to go to school here because it's close by and I can get, you know, and you don't know who's a believer, who's not. And we've seen it, you and I both have seen it, where kids, somewhat strong in their faith, very connected to their family, go off to college, and they get influenced by non-believers, whether it be other students or professors.
Yeah.
And so from a dad's perspective, and I said this from this ministry standpoint years ago, I made it very clear that, all right, atheist professor, that's targeting my son or daughter, you're going to be able to influence them X number of hours a week. I'm damn sure going to influence them the rest of the time.
Yeah.
And in this ministry, we shoot for the world, right? And so while that professor who's an unbeliever, or that other student who's an unbeliever, who may be trying to sway you, we're going to be at that trying to point you to Christ and support you and encourage you 24/7. That's what the website's for. When we're not there, it is. And that's the word of God, right? So it became, I became very passionate about who's influencing you guys and what am I doing to offset that, if I needed to. Yeah, counter that if I needed to. And because there's no protecting our loved ones from not hearing that.
Yeah.
So, and that's not what, you know, when Christ told the disciples to go out into the world, he just said, okay, go out into the world, but only go to churches and like-minded people. Mm-hmm. So, you know, from a parent standpoint, that is a challenge to send your children out as sheep among wolves.
Yeah, I mean, I know from my perspective, I mean, we were very close just with, you know, Katrina, homeschooling, all that kind of stuff as a family. And, you know, I was very open book with what happened on campus with you guys. Of, right. You know, oh, well, I passed by this person today and they were saying these things. Because if nothing else, college is where people feel like, well, my opinion and what I can say is the only opinion that matters.
Oh, sure.
I mean, the quad was always full of people screaming about whatever. I mean, there was an entire display thing of aborted babies one year. Mm. I was just like right in front of the mess hall. And I was like, that's maybe not the greatest place for it. But
sure.
Hey, that kind of stuff I told you guys that about. Mm-hmm. I can only imagine how much more difficult if that relationship is not one that you have with your child.
Sure.
And they don't reveal that information to you. So you can't be like, hey, atheist professor told you this today. Well, let me speak into truth into you now,
right,
and counteract that. So I'm sure it's kind of like you got to kind of like lay that blanket down and get all of it on a constant basis when you have the chance to talk to your child, because you're not sure what, if they're not, you know, if they don't feel like it's important to tell you or they don't have that kind of relationship with you.
Sure.
Because I know plenty of guys who, like, when it comes between the relationship with them and their dad, two words a day, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Morning and night, and that's about it.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that's got to be very difficult for those dads out there. And so that's really where, you know, peace has to be your go-to. Peace and prayer, right?
Yeah, dads, we got a uncommon live called Yoga Whippy. You get out what you put in. Mm. You put in two words a day with your child, don't be surprised when they change their habits, their ways, their beliefs. While they're responsible for that, so are you.
Yeah.
100%. So if you are not there, whatever capacity of your child, and in our notes, we were talking about this, like support while they're in college in a sense of like homework.
Mm-hmm.
Well, since you and I both work at our agency, there's many connections, but that's one of them as well. Mm-hmm. And I can still remember in this very room at midnight.
Oh, yeah.
working on some clay painted thing. We made that crazy superhero in the garage with all kind of bits and pieces. We spent nights on campus.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure exactly what it was, picking up clay.
You helped me pick up all my clay projects from my wheel class. Yeah.
I forget the one where we were on campus. It was late at night. We took a picture in front of that big crazy tower. I forget what it was, but you know, there's going to be times when your child that goes into a career that you have no like connection with,
mm-hmm.
doesn't matter. Be there to just like encourage, check in, sit with them, her, while they work on their homework if they need to. You can do whatever.
Yeah.
But don't just let them fend for themselves while they're at college, because they're going to be bombarded with all kinds of new responsibilities and pressure that they didn't have before. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to change your support as well. Let's grow your business to the next level with Studio 490. Our dedicated team of digital marketing experts is ready to skyrocket your online visibility. We're more than a service. We're your digital partner, providing you with trend-setting website design, powerful search engine optimization, targeted Google ads, and compelling social media management customized for your brand. By partnering with Studio 490, we can make your business stand out in this digital landscape. Don't just reach your customers, resonate with them. Visit studio490.com today, and let's step into the future of marketing together. Your success story starts today.
Yeah. So my wife, Heather, she got a degree in accounting.
Right.
I know nothing accounting. I hate numbers. If I didn't have to look at numbers for the rest of my life, I'd be happy, yeah. man. But I remember there were some classes that she was struggling with, and there was some exam stuff that she had like worked through, project stuff. Mm-hmm. And I sat down with her. I'm like, I don't know anything about this. I want you to teach it to me.
Right.
Walk me through this process. I'm going to ask stupid questions so you don't feel stupid. Mm-hmm. We can work through them together. Like, I knew nothing about the answer or how to get there. But together, right. because I was there to help her, give her encouragement and that kind of thing, I was able to help her get to that answer.
Yeah.
And so I imagine that doubly so for a parent. Like, you know.
Sure.
You as you said, we both went to graphic design. So, you know, we had that kind of thing. Right. But, like, I mean, there were still art projects that I did that you probably had no understanding about what was going on, and you were sure. just there for moral support. So,
my parents didn't even finish high school, right? I went into, and everybody out there's going to laugh, computer programming. Oh my goodness, horrible! But my parents didn't know that. Mm. Even to this day, they refer to me as in computers.
Like a little man,
yeah, right.
cranking that wheel.
Right. And he's in computers. What does he do? I have no idea.
He's in the Google.
The Googleverse. And so our last part about this is faith in school. So, you know, we touched a little bit on there about the new responsibilities, but talk a little bit about some of the peer pressure that you experienced. I remember you would come home, and I have two examples. If you don't touch on them, I will. So give me the peer pressure you experienced at college.
So because I was in the art department, I was around a lot of people who were non-believers.
Sure.
That was pretty obvious off the get-go. I remember one day I mentioned that I was packing up, and they were like, oh, where are you going? I see you're trying to get out quickly. I'm like, oh, I'm heading to Bible study. And this hush fell across the group. They were like, oh.
It was shock and awe.
Yeah. Like clutching the pearls.
Clutch the pearls.
So being in a, they were never like aggressive about it, thankfully.
True.
I hate conflicts. So I don't think I'll be able to handle that very well at all, but I definitely like caught them off guard. But I distinctly remember the first, like the welcoming, like introduction week, and I had to stay on campus,
right.
which was a nightmare because I wasn't wanting to stay on campus. And I'm like, why you force me to sleep in these prison beds? But one of the comments and questions they had posed to the like the auditorium, like maybe 30 kids mm-hmm. in this room, they were like, would you be okay if your roommate was gay? And I just look around, like everyone shoots their hands up, and I'm just like, oh, okay, so we're in the minority right here, kind
right.
of thing.
And oh yeah.
And so it was just interesting to see, like, it was off the rip. It was unprompted. It was just like, hey, we're going to ask you guys some questions to get a feel for you kind of thing. And it was like, started off very like, you know, what kind of degree, like, you know, everyone going into architecture, who's going into medical? And then about halfway through, they threw that question in there. And I'm like, so we just like off the rip trying to get into interesting conversations about that will hurt some people kind of thing.
Yeah, I think it was less about getting to know everybody and more about we're trying to single out who we need to target or watch for that are bigots. Let's just throw that word around, you know? And so, yeah, that's something that, you know, peer pressure.
Was that one of the two? Or
No, was it not? You have another one?
I know, that's the one too. Okay, I think off the top of my head.
So Joshua goes off to school, and everybody there starts off with, I'll just say normal hair. You know, brown, black, blonde, white, brunette, redhead, that kind of thing. By the middle of the semester, everybody in class except Joshua, their hair is like a handful of Skittles. It is every color in the rainbow, right? But two things stuck out to me. One, you talked about the Rolling Stones.
Oh, yes.
And no one in the class knew who they were. One person said, you mean the magazine?
Yeah.
And you were referring to the Rolling Stones, the band.
Yeah.
And I get it. These are maybe older bands, but these are not like the Britney Spears of the world. They're actually good music. And so that stuck out, as well as that you didn't curse. You know, they're like, you need to get out and live. They one told you to go to Vegas because you were too sheltered.
Yeah.
Yeah. The wise counsel from the peanut gallery.
Yeah.
And then one that you mentioned something about Dean Martin. Didn't know who that was. I get it. I know he's an older guy. You know, I'm a big Sinatra fan, the Rat Pack. So you've probably been exposed to that. But just things that was opposite of what they were into.
Yeah.
Right. Could cause peer pressure. And, you know, I've always been of the school of thought of, you ask me what I'm into, be prepared to me to answer what I'm into.
Yeah.
If you don't want to know, don't ask. And so when someone would say something about, well, what are you doing this weekend? I'm glad you asked. Well, we're going to go, you know, serve in the community, or we're going to take go to church Sunday or whatever. Yeah. I don't like go into it further if they don't want to talk about it, but if they do. So I think if you show up to school with a little bit of self-confidence and some great support from your family, I think that, and then also seek out a Christian group on campus. Yeah. That was important. We encouraged you that a lot.
Yeah.
And so I think that definitely helped that process, but you still experienced, you know, that's just college.
Yeah.
And nothing wrong with what you experience. That's just normal stuff that most adults experience, that and more every day at work.
Yeah. I mean, thankfully those instances you mentioned were not like, oh, how dare you?
Right.
You know, it didn't get worse, but you can easily see that slippery slope of saying, oh, well, I read my Bible in the mornings. And
sure.
That immediately becomes a point of contention or whatever. And thankfully for me, because I wasn't staying on campus, school and life were kind of separated that way,
both
physically and mentally in my mind.
Sure.
It was kind of like going to a job. Like, I'm going here to study,
right,
and I'm coming back home. And my friends who stayed on campus didn't have that luxury. They were just swamped by non-believers constantly being surrounded by drinking, drugs, sex, all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
And so I think it's really important to remember that for a lot of these kids, you know, their parents and their dads are that kind of lighthouse in the storm during this time frame. So it's important to get yourself right too.
Yeah.
So you can be that for when they need it. And to give godly wisdom and counsel when sometimes not when asked, but definitely when asked.
Sure, sure. And dads, you may just have to watch a little bit as he and your child goes through that and experiences that. You're not meant to fix everything. You're meant to there to support and encourage. And if there's something that needs to be addressed, then do so. But many times it's just, you're there, let them know they're not alone. And so that this is just a little phase of life. Now, dads, we not leaving you hanging. We have a resource for you specifically called Empty Nest. It's an original that we wrote with this topic in mind explicitly. We wrote it years ago. Shockingly, around the time you guys went off to college. So, if you have not got one of those yet, I would visit uncommon.org and download the original called Empty Nest. What was interesting is that before I started writing this, I was doing some research, and I could not find, as Andy Griffith would say, nary a resource on Empty Nest. Mm-hmm. There may have been some out there, I just didn't see it. And so we took it upon ourselves to pray about it and then write about it.
Yeah.
So, well, great. Well, this was our first episode of the Back to School special. From a father's perspective, be sure to check out the next one coming up, number two. And so we'll leave it as that you're going to be something, even on a college campus, be uncommon.